The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
The level that your family is now, you need an intervention. That intervention that will take you to a new level. God is bringing your way this morning in the name of Jesus. Your family is changing level in the name of Jesus. Every one of us, we are produce of a family. And I pray concerning you this morning that your family will experience exceeding grace of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are looking at lifestyle for a better family. Lifestyle for a better family. Hallelujah. The sound people can help me better with the sound. I'll be glad. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lifestyle for a better family. Lifestyle for a better family. God's plan for your family is that things will be better for you. I'll be running because the outline is loaded. It's so heavy. Very heavy. So please be fast with me. God bless you in Jesus' name. God's plan for your family is that things will be better for you. He does not want your family to be a family with tears, with shame, with sorrow. No. God does not want your family to be a family that is underperforming. No, God does not want your family to be a family that is struggling. God does not want your family to be a family that is managing, that is just trying to cope. God wants your family to be a family that is living abundant life. He says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. He says, for I know the thought that I think towards you. That is, I know. You see, what you know, nobody can make you not to know it. Hallelujah. I know the thought that I think towards you. What is that thought? See, the Lord said, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Some version says to give you a hope and a future. To give you an expected end. That is, whatever end that you are expecting, whatever is the desire of yours concerning your family, that very desire is the thought of God concerning you. And not only that, he said, and we had peace to it. That is, when you arrive at that place, that expected end, your arrival will be with peace. In the name of Jesus, your arrival will not be with crying. It will not be with sorrow. It's going to be with peace. That is the plan of God. His plan for you is peace. His plan for you is joy. His plan for you is prosperity. His plan for you is good health. His plan for you is advancement. His plan for you is preservation. His plan for you is protection. His plan for you is increase. His plan for you is for you to do well in every areas of life. God does not want you to weep. God does not want you to cry. God does not want you to struggle. He wants you to live an abundant life. And I pray for you this morning that you will live an abundant life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9, especially the A part, it says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life. Live joyfully. That is, God's plan is that you live joyfully as a family. God wants you to live joyfully as a family. And I pray for that family that is going through one trial or the other at this moment, that the joy of the Lord shall come into that home. There will be joy again in that family. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you are watching us online, I pray for you also that joy is coming into your family in the name of Jesus. What God created family to be? What did God create family to be? Number one, I will be running through it. Number one is a place of rest. God created a family to be a place of rest. In Isaiah chapter 32 verse 18. Isaiah chapter 32 verse 18. He says, and my people shall dwell peaceably. They shall dwell peaceable. In a peaceable habitation. In dwellings and in quiet resting place. God wants your family to be a quiet resting place. A place of peace and tranquility. A place where there is no turmoil. A place where there is no strife. That is the place. A place where there is no uproar. A place where there is no fighting, no argument, no bickering, no nothing. Just peace and tranquility. That is what God has created family to be. Number two, God has created family to be a place of joy. a place of joy. I pray for you this morning. Your family will continually experience joy in the name of Jesus. As many that have not yet married, I pray for you. You will not settle into turmoil in the name of Jesus. You will not settle into crisis in the name of Jesus. You will settle into joy. You will settle into peace. You will settle into rest. Somebody that believe it, shout amen. Hallelujah. The family is meant to be a place of joy and gladness. It's meant to be a place of happiness. It's meant to be a place where you obtain joy, not grief. Some people go into marriage and what they do is they grieve every day. They start asking themselves, what am I even doing in this marriage? That will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. You know what will be your portion is, why didn't I have married like 5 years ago, Seth? Hallelujah. Because of the abundance of good things that will be coming your way in the name of Jesus. Number three, what God created family to be is to be a place of good things. Say good things. Say good things. Say good things. And that will be your portion in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The family is meant to be a place of goodness. It's meant to be a place of goodness, a place of good things. Hallelujah. You see, God did not create man to be in a place that is not good. When God created Adam at the beginning, the Bible said everything was good. God placed Adam in the place of goodness. He was enjoying in the place of goodness. Hallelujah. The garden was a place of goodness. Everything in the garden was good. Everything in your home will become good in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you know that this is it. This man was enjoying abundance. And God said, it's not good for this man to be alone. Because everything was good. But he needed something that will make it more better, and that is the woman. And God created the woman for the man. And the Bible says, and the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make for him what? An helpmeet, so that there will be a completeness. There is going to be a perfectness. And that is what you will experience in your relationship and in your marriages in the name of Jesus. That is the thing God created a family to be a place of goodness. And goodness of God shall continually flow in your marriages, in your home, in the name of Jesus. Number four, family to be a place of peace. Man did not create family. Man did not institute the marriage or the family institution. No, this came from God. And everything that God created is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, to enjoy, it's a place for you to enjoy a long time and lifetime of peace. A lifetime of peace. That is what marriage is meant. When there is peace, there must be prosperity. How many of us know that when there is peace, there will be prosperity? When there is peace, there will be increase. When there is peace, there will be blessing. I pray for you this morning, you will enjoy great peace. I say you will enjoy great peace. I say you will enjoy great peace. You will enjoy great peace. Psalm 122 verse 7 says, peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. I pray for you this morning. Peace will be within thy walls in the name of Jesus. And because of this, there shall be prosperity in thy palaces in the name of Jesus. I pray there will be prosperity in your home as the peace of God reign in your family in the mighty name of Jesus. Number five of what God created a family to be is to be a place of support and synergy. A place of support and synergy. Family is for support. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9, it says, Two are better than one because they will have a good reward. They will have a good reward for their labor. You see, when one is laboring, the reward of one is one. But when two is laboring, the reward is not two. The reward is a multiple fold. I pray for you this morning, you will enjoy great reward. In your family, there will be great reward in the name of Jesus. So it's a place of support. It's a place of synergy where two people that are in the plan and the purpose of God for their life comes together and they are making great progress by supporting one another. I want to speak to every married couple here this morning. Please support one another. Support your husband. Support your husband in whatever walk in righteousness work in righteousness that he's doing. You may not really like the work, but that is what God has given to him to do part time. Support it. Support it. Don't criticize him and say, is this the best you can do? That may be the best at that moment, but that is not the best of him. That may be the best at that particular moment, but that is not the best of him. You know what? The best at a moment may not be the best of the man. Hallelujah. So support him so that the best of the man can come out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Also, as a husband, support your wife. Support your wife. Support one another. That is when your reward will be great. I pray for you this morning that your reward will be great in Jesus' name. God knows that for Adam to produce greater reward, he needed a woman. And that was why God created the woman. God created the family for better result. And for your family to have better result, there must be trusted support base. There must be trusted support base. You know, I want you to know that both of you, as husband and wife, we enjoy great benefit when you work in harmony, when you dwell in harmony. How peaceable it is for brethren to do what? To dwell in harmony, where there is support, where there's encouragement, where there is strengthening of one another. Reward that is achievable is not in single form. It is always great. I pray for you this morning that the Lord will give you this grace in Jesus' name. Please don't fight one another. You may think what he is doing or what she is doing is not the best, but support and encourage, and you will see the best come out of it in the name of Jesus, as long as it's in righteousness. And I tell you, your profiting shall be great in the name of Jesus. Number six of what God created the family to be is a place of strength and stability. A place of strength and stability. You see, strength and stability is very important for every believer and for every family. And the family provide the support base. Family provide the stability base. Family provide the strength base for everyone. Family is a place where you draw strength from. How many of us know that no matter how your friend may love you, no matter how close they are, there is something that is called family. Hallelujah. And that thing that is called family is the thing that strengthens you. I pray for that family where the strength is being broken and it's been shredded into pieces by the enemy. The Lord bring his peace into your home in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord has created the family, our families, the family that he has placed you and I into. And let me say this, don't feel bad to the family where you are created into. God does not make a mistake. It is not a mistake. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, when I was much, much, much younger, and when you watch American film and you think that everything is fine, you say, I think I should have come as James Bond. I should have come as James Bond so that I would be doing all those stunts that James Bond used to do. I used to have that fantasy, that wild imagination. So we'll go and cut stick and broom. I would say, I'm James Bond. You are Shark, or you are one of the villains in the James Bond movie. I can't remember the names of those villains again. Then the James Bond will be chasing after the villains. Hallelujah. But as I grow older, I discover that it is just film. It's not real. Tell your neighbor, say, it's not real. Hallelujah. God has placed you at the real place. Your family is the real place. Your home is the real place. Hallelujah. No matter how beautiful those movies you see or you watch, they are not real. And they can never be real. But your home is the real place. Hallelujah. So please know this. You are in that home to provide support and to draw support and stability. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 12 says, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Why? Because the strength is multiplied. Two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. Husband, wife, and God Almighty form the threefold cord. And that cannot be broken. I pray for you this morning. The cord of your home shall not be broken in the name of Jesus. One major thing that we must enjoy in our family is strength and support. Strength and support. Strength and support. So provide provide that for one another. As the man provides support, provides strength. As the wife provides support, provides strength. Don't let the man come back. The man is battered, he's weak, he has been subjected to all sorts of things at work, and he has come back. He needs your support to draw strength. Don't shred him down the more to the point that he doesn't even have any self-esteem again. No. And I know that the Lord will bless you as you provide support and strength for one another. That will bring about stability. To bring about stability for your home. And that shall be your portion in the name of Jesus. Number 7 of what God created a family to be is to be a place of prosperity and abundance. A place of prosperity and abundance. God created family for prosperity and abundance. Joel chapter 2 verse 26. And you shall eat in plenty. Say to your neighbor, say you will eat in plenty. Not only that, when you eat in plenty, you will be satisfied. Say you will be satisfied. And after you are satisfied, you will do what? You will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. You will not be ashamed in Jesus' name. Your family will not be ashamed in the name of Jesus. God has created a home to be, the family to be, a place of prosperity, a place of abundance, a place of increase. You will hit in plenty in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of us have observed that while the guy is single, he's a little bit small. Then when he gets married, he starts increasing. Why? Because he's beginning to hit in plenty. The same thing goes for the woman. When the woman comes in, the woman is just like this. After some years, you see that the woman has changed. The shape has changed. Why? Because the woman is now doing what? Hitting in plenty. You will hit in plenty in Jesus' name. You know, let me make you laugh. Recently, I know my wife will not be angry. Recently, my daughter went and brought out a wedding gown. And when she brought out the wedding gown, and she did something funny, and she put it on. And immediately I was looking at the thing, and I was looking at my wife, I said, I've tried, oh. Hallelujah. Because there is no way on earth that thing can enter my wife, or my wife will enter into that thing again. So when I saw it, I said, wow, I've tried. I said, give me kudos. She said, she also looked at it, and she said, I've also tried. Hallelujah. Because if you see my wedding picture, you will see my suit. And you see my neck, you will know something is not matching. Either the neck is not matching the suit, or the suit is not matching the neck. Surely something was not matching. But now everything is matching. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, you will eat in plenty. The days of carrying bowl to mama put will end. Hallelujah. That is what the family is meant for. Not only physical food, also spiritual food. Because when two people join force together, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will come in there. See, when you're in a family, you draw the presence of God. You draw the power of God the more. And that brings about more blessings. It brings about more plenty. I pray for you, you will hit in plenty. No matter the scarcity in this nation, you will hit in plenty. Hallelujah. You know, I always tell my wife, I said, my own prayer is not that price will change or price will come down. My prayer is that no matter the price, I should have resources to meet the price and be above the price. When you are above the price or the cost of anything, that thing is inexpensive for you. How many of us know that? But when you are not up to the price, it's expensive. Somebody posted something, somebody bought a car of 600 million. And the guy was like, And, you know, it sounds somehow crazy. But if you have the money and you buy it, you are capable. It's not going to be expensive for you. Why? Because you have the resources. Somebody is going higher in Jesus' name. Anything you desire in righteousness to have, heaven will provide the resources for you to accomplish it in the name of Jesus. Number 8 of what God created the family to be is a place of pleasure and procreation. A place of pleasure and procreation. God created the family for pleasure and for procreation. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. God created the family for procreation, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, you will be fruitful. Say to your neighbor, say you will be fruitful. If you are watching us online, say I will be fruitful. I will be fruitful. You know, because you are not saying it, so I'm saying to the online viewer, say, I will be fruitful. I will multiply. I will replenish the head. I will subdue it. and we have dominion in the name of Jesus. I love this part. The second last part said, and over every living thing. That is, you will have dominion over every living thing. I pray for you this morning. You will have dominion. You will have dominion from sea to sea. You will have dominion from land to land. You will have dominion from coast to coast. That is what marriage, that is what the family entrusts into you. And that shall be your portion in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Quickly, we'll be looking at lifestyle that makes a family better. Lifestyle that makes a family better. Number one, at this point, we'll be looking at least minimum six. I pray that God will help me to meet up. And in the second service, we'll be looking at many more. We'll be looking at many more in the second service. And the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. A lifestyle of the right attitude. The right attitude. The right attitude. The right attitude. You see, attitude will always determine your altitude in life. Altitude is how high you can fly. Your attitude is so important. The right attitude is necessary towards God. Number one, best attitude you can have is the right attitude towards God, not just man alone. You must have the right attitude towards God. A lot of us don't have the right attitude towards God and towards the things of God. And that takes away the God portion. That takes away the God portion. God's portion will not be taken away from your life in the name of Jesus. You must have the right attitude towards God. You must have the right attitude towards His house, towards the house of God, your commitment in His house, your commitment to His work. Then you must have the right attitude to your spouse. As a family, as a husband, as a wife, you should have the right attitude to your spouse. You should have the right attitude to your children. You should have the right attitude to people around you, your external relations. You should have the right attitude to your in-laws. You should have the right attitude to money. You see, one of the problems that makes a family not to be better is money. When the husband does not have the right attitude to money and the wife does not have the right attitude to money, there will be issue. Hallelujah. Every money that comes your way is not for food. I was telling my wife this morning, I said some people use 60% of their income on food. I'm telling you. Papa has always said this, that there's no amount of money that this tummy cannot take in. You will not know. It will just be taking it small, small. And you know the funniest thing, it is not how big you eat that makes you healthy. There is health is a lifestyle. If you eat too much, self, it becomes a problem. Hallelujah. Some people use all their resources. They have bad attitude to money. All their resources, they use it on jewelry and fashion. Fashion is good. I'm not against that. But you should have the right attitude. Some people don't have the attitude and the mentality of investment. Because there will always be a season of rainy season. There will always be, every family, there will be a rainy season. That is, nobody plants in dry season. You plant in rainy season. And can I tell you this? There are some plants, there are some crops that produce in dry season. But they take their root in rainy season. Hallelujah. So you plant in rainy season so that when the dry season comes, you harvest the fruit and you will not be in want. Hallelujah. But a lot of people have wrong attitude. They eat everything and spend everything. Wrong attitude to time. Your attitude will determine if you will have a better life. Wrong attitude will give rise to a wrong marital life. But a right attitude will lead to a progress and blessings in your home. Please, note that right attitude is not a product of right thinking. It's not just a product of right thinking. No, look at Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. Now, until you start thinking, it is that now form an habit and attitude. So it's not just that the way you behave is just coming. No, it's as a result. Pardon me what I said earlier. It's as a result of your right thinking. You must think right first. You must think right first. Until you start thinking right, you cannot come out with the right attitude. Your thinking faculty produces the right attitude. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. As he thinketh, so is he. So when you see someone with a corrupt attitude, he has a corrupt thinking faculty. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you know what? We don't inherit our thinking. So don't blame your father. And say, it's the way my father behaved. You are not your father. You choose to behave that way. I was talking to some people. I said, you know what? You can learn a culture and you can unlearn a culture. I know people that are Yoruba by gene. Genetically, they are Yoruba people. But they behave more like people from the north, like the Hausas. Why? Because they were born and bred in the north. They even speak more Hausa language than Yoruba language. They behave more. Why? Because they learn that culture. They learn that culture. So they have that right attitude. That attitude. They have it. Why? Because they learn it. And now, if it is by birth, then they should behave naturally like... It's not like that. You learn it. So you must take time to think. Your attitude is a product of your thinking. So think right. Say think right. You cannot go wrong with the right thinking. And you cannot go wrong with the right attitude. Number two, lifestyle of humility. Lifestyle. Lifestyle for a better family life. Number two, lifestyle of what? Humility. See, humility is key to having a better life. Humility makes the two to be one. What makes the two? You know, the Bible said, and for this cause, the man shall leave his wife, and the man shall leave his mother and his father, and he shall do what? He shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become what? One. I wonder why they will say it is the man that leaves, but in reality, it is the woman. It is the woman that is leaving. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the Bible is not wrong. We are the one that is wrong. It is the man that should leave. Because the woman is not leaving, she's just coming back home. Because the woman was taken from the man. The woman came originally from the man and was given to the parent. Now she's coming back to where she was taken from. So she's coming back home. So the Bible is not wrong. So we should have this understanding. When you have that mentality, you know that, look, I'm back home. This is my home. That's why when a woman says, this is my home. Yes, I say, yes, it's your home. Hallelujah. If you're a man here, look at me. The home belongs to the woman. The house belongs to you. Hallelujah. You are not the owner of the home. It's the woman. So you have this. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. When a man or his wife is proud, there will be turmoil. There will be turmoil in the family. Pride kills marriage. Your husband may not be as educated as you are. That does not make him a less husband. Your husband may not be as... there was a day I was traveling and I missed my road. And I saw some people. And I said, oh, let me park and ask for direction. And I parked and a woman was talking to me. And a man came behind and I said, honey, who is that? Then I looked at the man and I looked at the woman. When the woman said, honey, and the woman turned and said, yes, there. I said, eh? The woman is tall and the man is as tall as myself and taller than me. I mean, taller the reverse than me. You understand? You know I'm tall. Hallelujah. So the man is actually taller than me in reverse. You understand the reverse? And the woman is tall. So I was wondering. And the woman stopped immediately and the man came and, you know, I saw the affection. I saw the love. In fact, after they give the description, I could not move. I was just looking. So the man asked, you can go, sir. I said, sir, can I have your number? Yeah. I got his number. I was wondering. And we started talking. I spent like 15 minutes with them. You see, when you meet with opportunity for you to learn, please grab it. I learned something powerful from this couple. Hallelujah. The man may not be six-pack. He's still the man. Hallelujah. He's still the man. A lot of time you look at the other side, you think everything is more beautiful and more rosy. It's a lie. Like Papa would say, if you have not been to another man's father's farm, you would think your father's farm is the biggest. It's a lie. Where your father's farm ends is where another person's farm starts. Hallelujah. So be humbled. Marriage of two pompous and cocky people will be turbulent. You are the man, you are very cocky. There will be chaos in the home. You see, there is a word that is more powerful than I love you. in every home. You want to know that word? I'm sorry. I'm telling you, it's more powerful than I love you. For somebody like me, if you are telling me I love you, after a while I will start doubting you. If you don't really love me, if you are not showing the love, you must show the love. Because if you're saying I love you, you are not showing it, you are doing something otherwise, what kind of love is that? That's the truth. The love is practical. You must show the love. You can't say you love me and you are not submissive. Because to a man, love is respect. You can't say you love me and you don't respect. Some women tell their husband, I love you. When the man comes, they tell him, can you share? Then tomorrow morning when they need something from him, they say, honey, you know I love you. She loves your money. Hallelujah. Not you. She lost your bank account. There must be humility. Pride makes some people stubborn, unyielding, unbending, uncontrollable. When the man is proud, he will be egoistic and full of himself. When the woman is proud, she will be unsubmissive and difficult to manage. I know a couple. The husband has technical grade 2. How many of us know technical grade 2? And city and guide. How many of us know those qualifications? They've gone into extinction, but they are still existing anyway. And the wife just completed a PhD from one of the most prestigious universities in Canada. Not even in Nigeria. And when you see these two, you will not know who has PhD and who has technical college. You won't know. I'm telling you, you can't know. They do everything in common. They own everything. They move. You can't know. Submission. But if there's pride, there's no way the two will work. It will be difficult. Humility is good for the home. The Bible says in James chapter 4 verse 10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. What lifts is humility. It's not intelligent. It's humility. The Bible says what lifts is humility. What lifts is humility. It's not beauty. Beauty lifts nobody. Can I tell you this? You will be beautiful today. 10 years down the line, you may not be beautiful again. Yeah. Everything is still standing. It's still standing. And because it's still standing, nothing can enter your head. You are thinking, 15 years! You will need support for it to stand. You need it. That's the truth. 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. Recently, I was going through my books and I saw a picture of my mom that she took with her friend. My mom of blessed memory. And I saw the picture. I said, wow, Mama, I find you. I'm telling you. She was looking beautiful without the makeup. Those days, they used Atike and Tiro. That was what she was wearing. And she was looking beautiful. When you look at the picture at her 80th birthday, and you put that one by the side, I don't know the age she took that picture, you won't say it's the same woman. The same thing, my father. I saw his picture at his first place of work with tie, and was looking immaculate. And I remember the last time I saw him before he died. Two different things. So humble yourself. Be humble. Everything you are priding in now is just for a moment. For a moment. Men that are here, listen to me. Please humble yourself and treat your wife very well now. Because if you don't treat her nice now, when you grow old and the children start giving birth, you'll be carrying plate again to go and meet Mama Put. The children will take her to US. They will leave you. She'll go and do a mungo, you'll be there. But if you treat her nice now, when the children ask her to go, she will still go, but she'll be telling you, Aro Baba Yin Somi. Oh, Somi, please, I want to go back. She will come back home quickly because she'll be missing you. And you'll be missing her too. But if you treat her anyhow now, when the children give her, she will use it as an excuse. Your daddy might be, you know, I have to go and take care of children. She will just leave you there. You'll be there alone. So treat her nice now. Humble yourself. Treat her well. Hallelujah. I've learned this and I'm trying to practice it. You can ask my wife. She will tell you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's the lifestyle. Number 3, lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of prayer. Prayer is vital to the family and family development. Everything You see, one of the things I do everything together with my wife is because of what I said earlier. I want to bond very well. So when I'm old, no child, I used to tell my children, I said, look, don't think my wife will come and sit in your house and be taking care of baby for 3 months. Eh? Don't think of it. So plan your life now. Chetigbo? Yes. A lifestyle of prayer. Lifestyle of prayer is vital. You are laughing. It's real. Hallelujah. Can we move forward, please? Everything that you need to be successful in life is in prayer. And everything that you will ever need to be successful requires prayer. Can I take that again? Everything that you will need to be successful in life is in prayer. And everything that you will ever need to be successful requires prayer. Luke chapter 18 verse 1. Humble yourself. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not what? To faint. So humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and pray. Prayerlessness is a sign of pride. It's a sign of pride. When you don't pray, it's a sign of pride. And it's very risky for your family. It is either the family is praying or the family is praying. No prayer in the family is like dancing on hot coal. With a shoe on, you are wearing a shoe, so you are dancing. Initially, you will feel the coal. But as the shoe starts getting burning and it starts melting, God help you, it's not a rubber shoe. You will feel the heat. You need the fire of prayer to quench that fire. This is because life is a battlefield, not a playground. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. It's a battlefield. Colossians chapter 4 verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue, that is continue, always keep praying. Every family should have a devotion. You should pray. Don't wake up in the morning, psh, mother, psh, father, psh, everybody, children, psh, everybody. No, have time to pray. Pray together. Pray as individual. Wake up at night and pray. Night prayer carries power. I'm telling you. Carries power. You are busy through the day. You can't pray in the day. Wake up at night. Lay your hands on your spouse. I speak to you, this man. He won't say you should not lay your hands on him. He will even like it. So lay your hands. When he wake up, he see you. She said, Kilo Shele, I'm going to draw for you. Tanya, if I draw. Pray. Pray for your wife. Pray for your husband. Pray for your children. Don't leave everything to chance. Women that are here, please look at me. Can I tell you this? One of the major work of a woman is prayer in the home. I'm telling you. One of the major work of a woman in the... a lot of women think their major work is to pray for their children, to take care of children. One of your major work in your family is to pray for your husband. I'm telling you. If you want that family to be successful, to live a better life, pray. You better get up and start praying for him. The man is facing and is exposed to a whole lot of things. So you must be a prayer support. Pray. Together, pray as individual. Number four lifestyle is a lifestyle of service to your family. That is for the man. While the woman is praying for the home, the man is to have a lifestyle of service, to serve the family. Many people go into marriage with the idea of being served. And that is why things are difficult for them. They want to be served. Recently, my wife collected my daughter. And my daughter told my wife, Mommy, why are you stressing yourself? You are too fussy, Mommy. You are too fussy. Eh, Mommy, you are too fussy. I was looking at her. You are too fussy. Say, by the time we are married, we are going to have robots. Robots will be doing all this thing. Robots will be doing that. I look at her and say, hey, okay. I pray that the robot will not robot you. You better learn. Lifestyle of service. As a man, you must be ready to serve your family. You must be ready to serve your family. As a wife, you must be ready to serve. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Serving your family is crucial to you having a better family. If you can't serve, then you can't be served. If you cannot serve, you cannot be served. Hallelujah. You must be willing. Training of children is service. Train the children also to know how to serve. Train them to know how to serve. Train them. Don't just pamper children. Nowadays, parents buy phone for children. 10 years old child. You are buying a phone for a 10 years old child. 10 years old phone. Okay. What you might do if it is just a phone to communicate, just to be able to say hello, hello. Well, you now buy iPhone 10, or you go and buy a very powerful Android phone that the child will be exposed to all sorts of rubbish. If it's just, what do you call this one that used to bring small light? Eh? Turn us up there. That one is still okay. God bless you, man. Hallelujah. We are living in a perilous time. Things have changed. Can I shock you? A child of 10 years knows what you don't know when you were 20. I'm telling you. I mentioned a name this morning that I don't use that name often for one of my kids. And my little baby of 2 years said, "That is my brother." She answered back, "We rarely use that name for the elder brother." As I mentioned, and I wasn't even referring to him. I was referring to another person that bears that name. She said, "That is my brother. That is my brother." I asked myself, how did she know that that is the name, the other name? That's to tell you they know what you think they don't know. So train them. Be of service to them. Help them. Your training is a service that will later pay you. You will be paid for your service. Every service provided in the home, either by the man or by the woman or by the children, I tell you, you will eventually be paid for that service. Hallelujah. So please, don't come to be somebody that everybody will be serving. Bible said the man that cannot provide for his own house is worse than an infidel, and that person has denied faith. That is, that person is not even a Christian. That person does not have faith. That person, a man that can't provide for his house, does what the Bible says. We need to understand the scripture. Don't allow all those things they taught us in Sunday school alone to be the only thing you know. Grow in the spirit for the Holy Spirit to minister. When I read this scripture again, I understand what the Bible is trying to say is that an infidel are people that doesn't believe in anything. So when you don't provide for your house, that means you are more like a worthless person. You have no faith. Be of service. As a man, be of service. Don't deny the faith. Don't deny the faith. Be of service. Pay attention. And let me tell you this, you cannot serve without paying some sacrifices. Service comes with sacrifices. And be willing to pay those sacrifices. Because in the place of sacrifice is the place of power. The place of sacrifice is the place of power. Building a family needs a lot of effort, which is evidenced by service. It is evidenced by service. I pray for you the grace to be a service provider for your home. God release unto you in the name of Jesus. A child that you did not train today will sell the house that you build tomorrow. So provide a service of training for those children. And the Lord will bless you in Jesus. Number 5. My time is up. Lifestyle of service to God and to the family. A lifestyle of service. Number 1 lifestyle is what? Number 2? Number 3? Number 4? And number 5, lifestyle of service to God and to the family. The family now means God and the family of God and your extended family. Without God, we can do nothing. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." We must make it a lifestyle to serve God. When you are serving God, you will serve man. You can't serve God and not serve man. Hallelujah. You can't serve God and not serve the body of Christ. You can't serve God and not serve the interest of the kingdom. And this is a sure path to a better life, I'm telling you. I know it, and it is sweet. It is very sweet. It's a life that will always take you higher. Serving God and the interest of his kingdom as a family will make him to bless you more. Obed-Edom brought the Ark of Covenant. If you read 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 11, the Bible says they dumped the Ark of Covenant in his house. And you know, not that the Ark of Covenant came into their house, they were tending to it, they were taking care of it, maintaining and keeping. Now go back to the beginning, go back. And the Ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gigathite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and what? All his household. They were all blessed because they were attending to the things of God. Brethren, one of the sure ways to secure the future of your children is to engage in kingdom service. I can tell you this. It's one sure way. Invest. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall reap. Hallelujah. And I want us to note this. When two servants marry, they make something great for their marriage. When two masters marry, they make a mess of their marriage. When two servants, those that are two, serving in God's house, they make a great marriage. They become great masters. But when two people that made themselves masters from beginning marry, they make a mess of their marriage. You will not make a mess of your marriage in Jesus' name. A lifestyle of service to God and to his kingdom is most important. And the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. I will try it. Number 6, a lifestyle of wisdom. I was telling someone, I said, what you need to make a successful home is 2 things, basically. God's grace and wisdom. Can I shock you? Money is good, but money does not make a good marriage. If money make a good marriage, all those billionaires, Bill Gates, after how many years, will not have a crashed home. But that's the truth. It is not about money. It takes wisdom. The wife must have wisdom. The husband must have wisdom. The husband must not be someone that lacks wisdom also. And say, if my wife has wisdom, it's okay. No, both of you must have wisdom. A lifestyle of wisdom. You can't win your marriage by fighting, by nagging, by threatening, by shouting, by arguing, by insulting, by being abusive. See, a woman need to be subjected you need to subject a woman. If I catch you, beat your wife, I'll punch your nose. Don't mind my height, oh. Don't mind my height. I spent the latter young adult of my life living with the military men. So don't try it. Latter part of my young adult life, like about 12 years, living with soldiers. So you know what it means to stay with soldiers. A man beating his wife, to me, is below an animal. I'm sorry. God, can you beat yourself? The Bible said the two have become what? One. If you are one now, then you are beating your wife. You are beating yourself. Don't be abusive. That is not what will make the woman to be submissive. What you need is wisdom. 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 Proverbs 23:24 verse 3 says, through wisdom an house is builded, and by understanding it is what it is established. As important as money is, it will not build a home. It were so, rich people will not have breakup. It takes wisdom to build a home. Without wisdom, a man or a woman will behave foolishly and stupidly. It takes wisdom. So if you lack wisdom in a particular area, seek for the wisdom. If you lack wisdom in parenting, seek for wisdom. If you lack wisdom in personal hygiene, seek for wisdom. If you lack wisdom in how to organize the home, seek for wisdom. If you lack wisdom in how to cook, seek for wisdom. Seek for wisdom. If you lack wisdom on how to talk to people as a man, seek for wisdom. Seek for wisdom. Read books, get tapes, meet servants of God who have evidences and proof in their home marriage and ask them, how are you doing it, sir? You are 3 years in marriage and you are bragging with someone that is 30 years in marriage. In my place, they said a child can have many clothes, but he can never have many rags as an elder. You need wisdom. Seek for those that have wisdom. And the Bible says, and I close with this, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy gettings, get understanding. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. And I know that God will give you understanding. In second service, we are going to go deeper, and the Lord will bless you the more in the name of Jesus. All heads bow, all eyes closed.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.